Welcome to the Decentered Podcast by We Distribute, a program that focuses on user empowerment, decentralized communication, and the future of the internet. I'm Sean Tilley, acting editor-in-chief for We Distribute, and I want to share how all of these elements are converging together to change how we communicate online every day.
We're here with Hashida, the creator of Sora SNS. It's a new kind of app for the Fediverse that is super sleek. It's an iOS app, and it works with Mastodon and Firefish and a growing number of platforms. Thank you for joining us, Hashida.
Oh, thank you very much, Sean. Thank you very much, Demo.
Yeah, no problem.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you've done quite a lot of iOS development, looking at your website. You have a ton of experience with building iOS apps and experiences. And, you know, you've built something very unique as far as Fediverse microblogging clients are concerned.
Just to introduce myself, so I'm Hoshida. I'm currently based in Osaka, Kyoto area in Japan. So just a tiny bit background about myself. So I actually started writing codes in primary school, so more like HTML codes, you know. It started when I need to do like a PowerPoint presentation in class, and I really want to stand out. So I searched online for some very cool animations. It might be so cool. So it's like these like turns PowerPoint into butterflies, you know, and flies away. And it was so fancy. And that was, you know, when XP was popular. And I remember I used Office 2003. So it didn't have any of these, you know, animations stored in there. It just searched online. And but I remember like coming with the PowerPoint has a Office front page. So I don't think they offer that app anymore. So it has like a split view of, you know, web page on the top and code at the bottom. So I thought it was very cool. And I actually built my personal website in primary school. So at that time, there was no, you know, online hosting platforms. So I actually bought a very bulky secondhand server right at home. And I tried to only run when my parents was not at home because it's so noisy. It's noisy, so noisy. So and then time goes on, and in high school, I actually published my first iOS application. It was called Glucose Secret. So because my grandparents have diabetes, so I kind of developed this application so that they can, you know, use their iPhone to monitor their glucose level.
Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, because they use paper and then to track, and so it's very hard. So I do have the app for them first, and then I decided to publish to the App Store. So after the high school, I actually did a summer session at Stanford. It's more focusing on bio computational, but. I started there, and then I actually studied computer engineering at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then I did some research projects on educational softwares. So this is actually a tiny bit like the Fediverse. So where it's like remote education, but it's like everyone can have their own whiteboard, can share their ideas, you know, like it's a P2P based, like WebRTC based, but yeah, it's also, it doesn't rely on a central server. So that's kind of, my research at the Carnegie Mellon. And then, so my journey with Apple was actually pretty long. So I was invited to join WWDC 2017 and 2018, like as a scholarship winner. So in 2019 and 2020, I actually worked with the ARKit team. So I signed non-disclosure, but you know what I was working on, you know, it's AR, you know, so I'm not gonna say the name, but but at Apple, it's all like very amazing people, very interesting projects. I cannot tell you because I signed a non-disclosure.
No, and that's not what this podcast is about. But right. It sounds like you've been at the forefront of a lot of exciting developments, you know, mm-hmm. from your experience in primary school, mm-hmm. having that motivation to build mm-hmm. First your own PowerPoint animations and mm-hmm. presentations, and then finding a way to basically run your own server and your website mm-hmm. from home, and just sort of springboarding out into iOS development to help your grandparents solve a particular problem and a particular need, mm-hmm. and then moving on to educational apps, mm-hmm. and then moving on to ARKit. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. A friend of mine actually worked on the ARKit team. So it's kind of crazy to see things go full circle, but I know that their work was really important to what they're doing today.
I've always been dreaming of, you know, in a parallel universe, maybe I'm working for Apple. But, you know, the reason why I'm currently developing it by myself is I always dream of doing a startup. So I'm sitting here, like, in this branch of the universe.
Wow. So how did you, how did you get involved with the Fediverse, and how did you decide to develop an app for it?
Right. So I think it was a few years ago when Mastodon was not so popular. And so some friends of mine, mostly, you know, these anime artists, they use Mastodon and Miski at that time. That was like 4 or 5 years ago, I think. And I tried to sign up, but then, I discovered that when you first sign up, it's an empty screen. So there's nothing. The timeline is empty, and you don't have any follows. So I had to search online, you know, for who to follow. And even if I followed some accounts, I only see posts from these accounts. It's so boring because sometimes, you know, people just repost like again and again. So it's a boring timeline. So I kind of it kind of stalled for a while, and I didn't use it. But, you know, recently, a lot of people joined the Fediverse because of various reasons, you know, of the other big social media platforms. So I kind of thought maybe, hey, this is a great time for me to solve the initial issue I encountered when I joined the Fediverse. So I started the development of this app, I think, 2 or 3 months ago. I started, you know, to list out all my frustrations when I was using the Fediverse, and I kind of, like, you know, started from there. And the app was published, I think, in September, early September. So it's in the very early stage. But yeah, that's basically what promoted me to work on this application.
You went into a good point that I want to touch upon. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that mm-hmm. you wrote down some of the frustrations that you had, and then even mm-hmm. your early experience with the Fediverse and having an empty timeline. Mm-hmm. can you tell us some of those frustrations that you found yourself having with using Fediverse platforms?
Yeah, sure. So I think if you sign up for a major social media platform, you usually are greeted with a screen like, you know, hey, these are some well-known people, you know, hey. And I think one of the reasons that really drives people, why most people are using, popular social media platform these days, because they can see the people they already know on the platform. So that's why they stay there, I think. And for the Fediverse, I feel like the first point is that's my frustration is discovery. So I think that's especially for new users, especially for this non-IT, non-tech person. So I remember when I signed up, I had to search online, like, who are some interesting Fediverse follows, maybe on Reddit, maybe on, I don't know, on Bluebird platform. So I had to search there and then add them one by one to my following list. So that's the first frustration I feel is the discovery. And the second frustration, as I mentioned, is after you sign up, you only see the post from what you are following. So it's more like static. It's not a dynamic timeline. So every time I open my timeline, it was this post from the people I follow. And the second time I open timeline during the day, maybe it's the same because, you know, people don't post that frequently, maybe on the Fediverse. At least, you know, that was for the accounts I follow. So it was very boring. And that's the second issue. And the third frustration is more about the federation. Federation is great, but sometimes because of the federation, there are, you know, when you open a profile, there are no posts and that's very hard. And I think, even in today's Fediverse app, I had to like copy the link to the profile, paste it to the web browser, and then that launches the instance the user belongs to. and then it shows all the posts, but then I can only view it that way. So it's very frustrating because there are empty profiles. And even then, like the like count and the repost count are not, you know, the actual like and repost count. So for example, I actually host my own Fediverse instance, and if I use a web browser or other applications, the like count is zero because on the instance, it's only me. It's my personal instance. So it's very hard because you don't know how many people actually like the post. So these are kind of three frustrations for me. The first is discovery for new users. The second is more like after you use it for a while, your timeline is kind of boring. And the third point is more about the tiny bit issue brought by this federation protocol.
Yeah, no, I mean it's pretty funny that you put it that way, because those are all, if you've been on the Fediverse for a long time, for example, it can be very easy to ignore the fact that these issues even exist, and it can be very frustrating for new users who are trying to get into it, trying to use it more. Those usability issues can be kind of a make or break experience for new people. I think you put it perfectly with having to copy and paste things into various forms in the browser. Like, have you found ways to kind of make that experience better on your own? Or, you know, is this something that you're currently exploring?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that was one of the reasons I started Sora app. So in the Sora SNS app, what I did is, so for the discovery, what I did is I presented a initial list of, you know, interesting hashtags, first of all. So if you select this hashtag, it's going to go into the algorithm, which I'm going to talk about later. So it also presents a list of very interesting accounts. So featuring accounts like, you know, these government official accounts like the European commissions, and also featuring some very interesting tech accounts like, you know, Redistribute and Daemon, and Sean. So these accounts that focus on tech reviews and also some other very interesting accounts. So that's the first point. I think discovery is to present a great onboarding experience for new users. So kind of like if you sign up for other social media platforms, you know, you are greeted with, hey, there are some interesting people to follow, you know, and you know these people, so you will follow them. So that's kind of a good start. So after the user follow these tags or these like users, their timeline will no longer be empty, because after they finish the onboarding, they will see posts immediately and they can start liking immediately. And that leads to the second point. So if you like a post, Sora SNS is going to record this as a positive interaction. So so if you like a post or like repost it or like even open the link, so that's a positive interaction. That's recorded locally. So there's like a mass module. I'm not going to call it an AI because it's more like a local mass. AI is mass after all. So it's a mass. It's based on mass and statistics. So just imagine like a black box within. So there's some parameters that will adjust dynamically in Sora SNS as you like these posts. And then what's that going to do is that Sora is going to fetch all the posts or most of the posts from your instance and from other instances. So that includes trending posts and trending hashtags and more generally just local timeline, federated timeline. It's going to feed this post into this black box with your, there's a parameters adjusted from your positive interactions. And what's coming out of that box is every post will come with a score. So that score is how is the relevance of the post to the user. So the possibility the user is going to like the post. And then what Sora SNS does is that it sort it by the score, and then it packs the top 50 or 100 and then insert it into your original timeline. And it makes sure that these posts are usually coming from people you don't follow. So this really helps to build a positive loop. So and maybe initially, if you open the app, you see some cats because all algorithms mostly start with cats. and then, as you like, maybe if you're a dog person, you like more posts of, puppies and dogs, you will see more of that. So it's a positive loop. So that's kind of how I solved the second issue. So using a local kind of AI algorithm, but more I call it like a math module or statistics module that does this stuff. And the third focus is federation. So what SolarEssence does is it automatically contacts the remote server to fetch for the likes, reposts, and also the posts from the entity profile. So that's kind of like how I toggle these three issues in the SolarEssence. Also, a very interesting point I didn't mention before is what's interesting added to this algorithm is that different from other algorithms, it also tries new keywords. So if you are constantly like posts on dogs, it might try to feature posts of cats. It might try to feature you posts of,
like,
you know,
fish. Or something like that. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So if you go into the app settings, you can actually see the keywords are grouped based on the AI predicted categories. So like photo, nature are grouped together. So it tries that. But if you don't like the post, if you just skim through it, it knows, hey, maybe I shouldn't try that keyword next time. So it's more like a friendly algorithm where it
right.
also tries new things for you to discover. If you like it, it adds it to the algorithm. If you don't like it, that's fine. I would never, you know, show you that keyword again.
Right. So. No, that is a very novel approach, I think, to trying to address discovery in the Fediverse. In any decentralization or in any decentralized system, as you probably know, trying to find the good stuff or just trying to find content and people to talk to in general can mm-hmm. seem kind of like a very difficult problem, because if you don't know anybody or if you can't find anything that interests you, you know, what alternative do you have other than to leave? So being able to fetch mm-hmm. that for the user and show them things they might like mm-hmm. and show them people they might be interested in sounds like a great starting point. So I noticed that your app, SolarSNS, supports not only just Mastodon, but also Miski, Firefish, and the biggest surprise of all, BlueSky.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit towards your efforts to expand its platform support, particularly the AT protocol / whatever BlueSky uses to talk to clients?
Yeah, sure. That's actually a great question. And that's actually the hardest part in developing this app. I think Damon also said, that's like the first app that supports so many platforms. So the reason why I added so much support is another frustration point kind of the Fediverse is there are so many protocols and people need to download different apps for different platforms. So maybe it will be easier, I thought, if there's one app that connects to all of your favorite Fediverse platforms. So that's why I decided to integrate Miski and Firefish at first. And then I thought like BlueSky is this booming Fediverse platform. So I also try to integrate that. So the hardest part is there's only one front end of that application. Every feature has to work. So there's this there's this bookmark button. Oh wow.
Sorry about that. Please continue.
No. I think he might like this podcast too, or she. So you know, there is also this bookmark button. So, but you know, what's frustrating is BlueSky actually doesn't provide bookmark feature as far as I know. So, but I have to make my app work. So, you know, the front end is the same if you log into different platforms, but the back end is all different. Like Mastodon, Miski, and BlueSky all have different APIs. So I think that's the hardest part of this app is I have to write more like a pluggable component. I ended up make it pluggable. So in the future, if I want to integrate one more platform, I can just plug it in and then add all these code adapters within the application. So that is very hard. Also, BlueSky uses the ad protocol, which means a different sort of username, different sort of identifier for posts. So I have to do this on the back end. So the front end is the same for the user, regardless of which instance you're logging. But it's very hard on the backend because I need to make different API calls, different formats, etc. But I feel that's pretty rewarding because,
that's a fascinating problem to try to solve. I imagine you probably like kind of built like wrapper functions or some kind of wrapper that like, you know, for a like, you have a way of saying, this is how Mastodon does a like, here's how Miski does a like, here's how BlueSky does a like for post. And you just kind of point to that for your development. Mm-hmm. But you know, one thing that I'm curious about is it possible then for a user to post something, have it show up on both Blue Sky and on Mastodon, and then get different replies from each network? Like, does that get confusing for the user? Because I know certain projects like Hubzilla, for example, have had challenges with that before, where they'll be talking to Mastodon and Diaspora at the same time. And so users on one network can't see the replies from users on another.
That's actually a very, very interesting point. So actually right now, I mean, I think it's trivial to implement that feature, because right now the app basically creates a new, like it has a background, like a kind of process or like that communicates your instance. So it's totally possible to fire up multiple of these so that it can talk with Mastodon, Mistkey, Blue Sky, multiple icons at the same time. So more like an integrated experience. But yeah, you're right. So the reason why I didn't do it is because I'm sort of thinking, how would the UI, you know, handle this? Because if you can see Blue Sky, Mistkey, Mastodon post all in one timeline, how are we going to differentiate this? Or like if you're going to you know, see replies, how are you going to choose where to reply? So that's kind of sort of the issue. And what if the user only posted on Mastodon and not on Blue Sky, but you know, you want to reply on Blue Sky? So I kind of got frustrated on the UI perspective, but this is definitely a feature I'm going to add to Sora SNS. So in the future, you will be able to like interact with all the logged in accounts. So one timeline, one notification, one post composer, but I'm still like deciding how to do it, you know, UI wise. So.
Got it. So is it more like Sora is a multi-account app for the moment? Like you log into a Blue Sky account, you log into a Mastodon account, and those are sort of treated separately rather than as one entity?
Yes. So currently you can add multiple accounts and switch between them. But right now you cannot like use multiple accounts at once. So.
Got it. That makes sense.
Because the reason why I did this is actually it's not technical. It's more like a user experience, because I'm trying to figure out a good user experience if you're going to, you know, combine multiple accounts at once, or maybe the user only wants to connect these two at the same time, or maybe account groups. I don't know. But yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to do that on the UI UX perspective.
Aside from that, what has been like the greatest challenge for you so far with building this?
I think, yeah, aside from having to integrate all the platforms, handling different APIs, I think how to really allow user to explore the Fediverse in fullest is my challenge. So as you know, I put my app on the first screen on my phone, as always. It always stays on the first screen. That way I can use it every day. So I use Sora almost on maybe 2 or 3 hours every day. That's probably too much, but that way I can experience what a user experiences when they use the app. So I try all the features, I use it every day so that I know what to improve. I know a lot of big companies, maybe the engineers sometimes don't even try the features they develop themselves, because you know, so for me, I think the challenge is how to bring the best experience to the user. So I always try to find answers to that question as I use my app every day. So I really want my app to work for everyone and have that best experience. So I think that's the second thing I'm looking for, you know, as I develop this whole application.
That's a really great answer. So I will add to that. What has been the most fun aspect in developing Sora?
Interesting. So I think the fun aspect is I think the fun aspect is just I can use the app myself, and I finally have like a very satisfying, you know, Fediverse app for myself. Because I mean, personally, most of the apps I develop, I have published like more than 50, like 50-ish iOS applications on App Store so far. So wow. I think, yeah, most of the time, when I was in CMU, I even like skipped some classes just to develop apps myself. So So basically, I think the point is, one of the reasons I developed my app is because I don't feel satisfied with the existing apps on the App Store. So that's why I started a new app so that I can add the features I like. But most commonly, these features are what other people are asking too. So I think that's a satisfying point where you are developing an app you like, and then you can add the feature you are excited about and others are excited about at the same time.
Yeah. So what are some of those features for you that like you really enjoy using?
I think the discovery feature definitely, because it features posts from accounts that you do not follow. So basically that helps you discover new accounts. So that's a feature I like. Also, I like the Sora.ss really pays attention to the user experience in detail. So for example, if you're playing a music in the background, what's most likely to happen if you use Twitter and like the Reddit is it's gonna pause the music. And even if you don't click open the video, even if the video is just playing the timeline, it pauses your music. And that's actually just one line, two lines of code to change, where you can just lower the volume of the user's music in the background. And then unless user clicks open the video, you don't disrupt the user's music. That's a very small detail in the design, but I feel like these major social media apps all don't take this point. They just pause their music, and that really, I mean, it's frustrating for me. I'm listening to my music. I just scrolling the timeline. I didn't even open your video, but then your video disrupts my music. That's very bad. So I think in Sora.ss, I paid a lot of details, attention to these little details. Also, there's a haptic feedback. So I kind of feel like this can help the user to feel it. So if you like it, it's kind of like do a haptic feedback twice. And if there's an error, it does it three times. So these are some small aspects I feel that's not really paid attention to in a lot of other applications.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
A great answer.
Yeah, it is a great answer, and it's a very thoughtful answer, right? And you want to respect the user's time and their attention while they're you know, using your application, and I think that's incredible. I know we've kind of dove in pretty deep, but for like our listeners, what does Sora mean, right? Like, translate that for them, and also why did you go with the name Sora?
That's actually a very great question. So Sora actually means sky in Japanese. So so what I imagine Sora is, it has two aspects. So as you know, the sky has two faces. So there's a daytime. So during the daytime, the sky is open, you know, like it's I feel the sort of like the openness, you know, and that could include openness to different voices, different people, different cultures, different groups, you know, people coming from all around the world. So I feel what I want the Fediverse essentially, or want the Sora.ss app to do, is the openness. So everyone can share a voice and your voice will be heard. So even if you don't have a lot of follows, if your content is interesting, my algorithm will try my best to surface it to you. So the discovery or the openness is the first one. And the nighttime, you know, the sky has all these beautiful stars. And I think each star can actually symbolize an instance or a person on the Fediverse. And, you know, each star has this, you know, unique voice. So I feel like this is more like for the discovery aspect. So openness is the first one, where you can hear different voices. Even if, you know, the accounts without like millions of follows, you should be able to, your voice should be heard. And then at the nighttime, you should be able to discover these interesting stars and maybe even a planet. So a planet means like an instance of the Fediverse. So you can jump on different planets, you can jump on different instances and discover what's there. So what's interesting on Sora.ss is that you can actually follow an entire instance. So what this will do is it will insert the training post from that instance to you. So if there's an instance that's specifically about, maybe pets. So if you follow that instance, you will see posts from that instance, even without switching accounts. So that's kind of like my definition for Sora. It's like the word meaning sky, but I imagine at the daytime it means openness, and at nighttime it means discovery.
That's a very beautiful answer.
Yeah, I just want to say that is incredibly poetic. I don't think I've ever heard anyone describe, one, the sky, but two, just the Fediverse and the experience of openness and discovery in quite such a beautiful way. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, I love watching the, you know, watching the stars in my free time. So I kind of feel that feeling where you are discovering. But Fediverse is exactly that, you know, it has planets means instances, and then stars means just maybe the individuals. So I feel very relevant, you know, even if I'm developing the app, I really just feel like, you know, space traveling. That's why, I mean, it's probably too much imagination, but I did put on the website that let solar be your like spaceship or
no,
something.
No, that's adorable, cool, and I think that's great. Yeah. Like something that we're kind of feeling out with people that are building for the Fediverse, you know, a lot of people when they start building an app or a platform or just really anything that hooks into the Fediverse, they're usually first starting to build something that solves a problem for them or their friends. But you know, usually the way it goes is that there's usually a larger vision at play. In terms of, you know, something they'd like to see in the Fediverse or, you know, some kind of experience they ultimately want to build themselves. Like, what is your vision for the Fediverse? Like, what is a better version of the Fediverse that you hope to build towards with Sora?
So that's a very good question. So I imagine like Fediverse is separate instances, it's a federation, but somehow it's also just one. So it's federated in the sense that everyone can choose the right community. But what I want to do is for the discovery aspect, I want it to more like come into one where the best of every community can come together and you can more like discover what's interesting, not only in your own community or in your instance, but also in other instances. So I feel like more like the, you know, the WWW World Wide Web, where each thing is a separate node or a separate, you know, separate instance, but then the web connects them in some way where you can reach there. More like a, I don't know, like a space warp where you can reach from one point, one node to the other, you can get information from one node to the other. So I really want the Fediverse. So what I want to achieve with the Sora app is to make Fediverse, you know, more like wine. So it's easy to discover, easy to find other people, easy to jump to other instances, maybe jump between different instances, discover information between different instances. And then, but it's still, you know, federated in the sense of the Fediverse. So this is what I envision is more like provide this, you know, aspect of togetherness or discovery to the Fediverse with the Sora SNS app.
No, that's a fantastic answer. And, you know, do you have any advice for someone that is interested in building for the Fediverse and kind of trying to figure out where to start first?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So I feel like definitely first point is user experience definitely matters. Always make sure, you know, that if you as a developer use the app as a user, you are satisfied and all the, you know, experiences are great. So that's the first point. The second point is, I think really, you know, solve this, you know, because it's federated. So every app, I think, should try to, you know, not only fetch information from your current instance, because it's a Fediverse, so you should also try to fetch information, you know, maybe from the users, from the profile you're viewing, from the instance of the profile you're currently viewing. So definitely definitely think about the federation, because you are not contacting, so basically apps contact APIs of a server, right? And that usually tends to be the server of that application or the server of the website user connects to. But I mean, developers of the Fediverse app should really consider the federation aspect. It's a federated universe. So you should not only contact the APIs of the server the user is logged into, but you should also contact other servers, because that's federation. So that's like a major design difference I feel in when designing for other applications, designing for the Fediverse. And the third advice is really just always put your app on your first screen because you use it every day and because that's how you can get feedbacks from your own. So you can feel your app and you can know what features to add. So that's more like a three advice I have for Fediverse app developers.
Yeah, that is a fantastic insight. Damon, do you have any other questions that you can think of?
Yeah. In terms of like the future, right? Like, do you envision creating other applications for Fediverse platforms? And two, like, what is the I know you touched on it a little bit in terms of what you want to get out of Sora, but like in the short term, mm-hmm. what's like the future like for, mm-hmm. for Sora?
Yeah, that's actually a very great question. So Sora is, I'm actually working on a voice broadcast feature. So it's kind of like a podcast where you will be able to host a podcast with others using the Sora SNS app, and in the future might even have a browser support. So if you don't download the Sora SNS app, you will be able to listen to others' podcast hosted from the Sora SNS app, and that will of course use the they will of course not rely on any centralized servers. So it will use WebRTC. It will also come with encryption. So the other feature I'm planning for Sora is end-to-end encrypted messages, and that could not only be limited to messages but also like voice calls. I know maybe adding voice calls to SNS app may be controversial at this moment, especially because other major SNS app is adding voice call. But I do feel like the possibility, more like a Matrix, I'm also a fan of the Matrix protocol. I feel it's great if I can also add a voice call and potentially a video call feature to Sora SNS that will of course come end-to-end encrypted. So that's the on the short term. That will probably come next week or the week after that. So the voice podcast will have a smart routing feature where your call. So basically, for a typical WebRTC client, your network depends really very the quality of your call depends on your network. So if your network is very bad, it's just your call. If a lot of people join, you have to upload this information to all the people. But I'm developing a smart routing algorithm, so your data is actually can be broadcast it from different participants of your call. So it's more like a distributed network where your voice podcast is more like a data is distributed in a Fediverse way. So voice broadcast, podcast feature, end-to-end encryption, and maybe video and audio calls. Also, I'm working on a macOS version of this application. So maybe even like a VisionOS application. These are in the short term in terms of within a few months.
I think it would be amazing to see voice calls and end-to-end chats come into the Fediverse. I know that it's kind of starting to happen a little bit. I'm not sure if you're aware, the creator of PixelFed is currently working on a messaging app. Have you thought about reaching out to him? Because I think he's got a lot of similar ideas about trying to build something that can facilitate end-to-end encryption as well as video calls.
That's very interesting. I didn't hear of it before, but I'll definitely check it out. That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, and so you were saying like podcast, but you were saying you mean something like Twitter Spaces?
So basically, you will be able to host a podcast within the application, and others' podcast can be featured on in a separate tab. So you can also jump into others' podcasts at any time. So in the design, that's basically similar to other social media platforms, I feel. But it's on the Fediverse.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome.
And you will be able to control who can join your podcast because it's encrypted, so you can share the key specifically for the people you want to listen the podcast to.
That's great. And then one of the other questions that I've asked is, do you think that you would, like, down the line, make a support another platform or make a different application outside of Sora for the Fediverse?
That's a very great question. So as I mentioned, I kind of designed it as a pluggable way in the API aspect. So it's very easy to adapt a new protocol because the front end is the same, and then there's some bridges, as mentioned by Sean. So there are some wrapper functions, and then it's very easy to plug in a new platform. So actually, I just heard of a new platform from Daemon. So I think it's link sharing, more like I forgot the name. I think it's like a Reddit alternative. I might be able to actually add that in within the next month, I think, and it will come actually with a unique upvote downvote button. So I would definitely add more platforms into the Sora SNSF.
So this is just me acting very hopeful with puppy dog eyes. Do you think somewhere down the road you might be able to support Android as well as iOS?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on my personal experience, my Android DRM scale is probably not as good as my iOS DRM scale. I apologize.
That's totally fair. Like, this is not me saying it's bad because you're not supporting it. It's more just like, oh man, there's this whole amazing experience someone's building, but I picked the wrong operating system.
I mean, I also feel bad because I'm not so good at Android development. But you know, if Sora eventually got popular, I will definitely work on an Android version of this application. So I actually developed this using like Swift, which is iOS specific. So if I did it in like Flutter, I might be able to port it to Android easily. But unfortunately, I'm not an expert in Android. But I'll definitely consider it if the app got used, got popular, and I'll definitely consider to do that, or maybe even publish the algorithm, maybe, so other app can adapt a similar prediction algorithm. So there's actually underlying, more like a local AI algorithm. I can maybe even publish a white paper sometime, so other app can integrate like a similar discovery experience.
So yeah, just with the mention of algorithms, I know that because you support Blue Sky, you also support the concept of custom algorithms. Like, what are some of the challenges you had with adapting Blue Sky support into your app?
So yeah, for Blue Sky, first of all, it's a lot of metadata is different. So for example, the Blue Sky username is without the add mark in the middle. So it's just a domain name, or like your username .bsky.social. So your app has to handle this change. It shouldn't expect a Mastodon username. Only it should also be able to parse different metadata provided by Blue Sky. The second point is more like the ad protocol. I think it's based on a very specific format. It's not using J. I think it has, it has a lexicons, right? So you have to be able to parse the data differently. And the third aspect is Blue Sky actually offers its own algorithms, which is the custom fees, as you mentioned. So for the app, it should also adapt to this. So it should do more like less prediction on its own, since Blue Sky already offers a similar functionality. For Blue Sky, I mean, the first of all is the protocol specifications. So URI, lexicons. The second, more like the APIs are all different. And the third point is we need to kind of, we can tune down the prediction a little bit because we have the Blue Sky custom algorithm. Also, I think for Blue Sky, hashtags are not handled the same as in Mastodon. So, the app also cannot use that hashtag as a metadata to the prediction algorithm. So that's kind of like the challenges to integrate Blue Sky.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So Blue Sky also, I think some features are not offered. So for example, the bookmarks. So I have to find a workaround, which is to save the bookmarks to the user's local device, and you can choose to back it up to iCloud. Also, the app offers like bookmark folders, which I think are not offered by Blue Sky or Mastodon. So I have to, you know, I have to you use an additional layer, which is like save it to local or iCloud. So basically to accomplish a lot of, so basically this is to provide a familiar user experience, because in many major SNS apps, there's a bookmark feature and there's a bookmark folder. So I want to bring the same experience to all the users, regardless of your instance. So it's very hard to adapt to this sometimes. So you have to find alternative solutions to bring the same experience.
Yeah, that's definitely an experience I discovered with both Miskey and now Firefish, is that they have very good support for being able to find and bookmark very specific things and put them in a folder. Right. Firefish calls this Clips, and it's a wonderful experience. So after using it, I don't know how I managed to get along so many years without the feature, but it is kind of a rough edge to like go to that and then realize, oh, Mastodon doesn't support this, and neither does Blue Sky.
Right. So I think one important aspect of this app is more like to provide user like a familiar experience where you expect to find, you know, in most social media apps.
So what's like one thing that you feel like is maybe not the best part of the experience so far? I know you've talked about like hypothetical things like onboarding and stuff like that. But with Sora itself, what is one thing that you think you could really improve in the near future for
right,
Sora?
Interesting. So I think, so out of like a feature I removed because I received so many bad reviews about it, it's the advertisements. So I initially for the app, I had Google advertisements. I know it's a bad idea. I dislike it. Even I myself just blocked. I don't know. So I even myself doesn't like it, but I edit it because I have to, you know, like make a living out of personal developing apps. But then like a lot of users complain, and I saw myself, hey, on like a ethical level, maybe advertisement not good. They collect data, you know, they are bad. So I received this feedback and I removed the advertisements. They don't make a lot of money anyway. So so I removed the advertisements, and that's sort of like a feature that I think shouldn't exist in Fediverse actually. So I removed it. And the second, so for the future, I think the prediction algorithm sometimes held people back or holds people back, because a lot of people, when they think about prediction, they think about it's big company collecting their data, collecting, like building a user profile, like exactly what they lack, like what their habits are, like where they go for shopping, etc. So algorithm kind of becomes a negative keyword for a lot of people, especially also AI is also becoming like a negative keyword. This sort of, you know, maybe data and privacy issues. But I really want to make this clear that Sora actually stores all this data locally. It doesn't actually send any of the interest data to my server. I actually don't have a server for Sora. There are two servers, one for GIF, so GIF search and packing, one for a safe link check-in, because I don't want to call Google API directly on the user's device. That will compromise the user's IP address. So there's actually a proxy that helps the user to check if the link contains malware. So I think in the future, maybe I will make it clear that the prediction is actually running locally. It doesn't upload your interests, and maybe, you know, make user comfortable with this local prediction.
So one more thing that I noticed just looking at the App Store page for Sora is that while the app is free, it offers an opportunity for in-app purchases for Sora Pro Monthly and Sora Pro. Could you kind of describe what Sora Pro is compared to the free version?
Yeah, sure. So in the basic version, you can do everything you can that you can do offered by the app that you can do on the web page of your instance. So I made sure that every feature you can use originally from your Fediverse instance is usable. So everything that calls your instance API is essentially free in Sora. And the Pro features are basically you know, you can create lists with multiple hashtags, you know, and you can make bookmark folders. You can sort posts by something like they hide the you can basically sort by media only, and you can sort your notifications, you know. So more of these advanced features where and you know, maybe average state user will not use, but more pro users will use. So these are going to the pro feature. So it's actually for every month, it's like $0.99. I made sure I checked every Fediverse app on the App Store to make sure it's cheaper than every other app for the monthly subscription. I made sure that I think they're all $1.99. I just want to be cheaper than them because I don't want to look too greedy. So also there's a lifetime purchase. So basically it just it's a one-off purchase. So yeah, that's the purchase.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I really appreciate you sharing your personal story and your experience, your point of view, and this amazing app that you're building. I feel like we're coming up on roughly almost an hour as far as our recording is concerned. I just wanted to ask, is there anything else you wanted to talk about or anything you wanted to say to people that are listening?
Thanks again, Sean. Thanks again, Damon. This is a great a podcast. I mean, I also checked out the WeDistribute. I think it's great because the Fediverse need more exposure, and I feel like media for exposure, like, you know, WeDistribute is a great way for average day people to catch up, you know, on the news of the Fediverse. So I feel this must continue, you know. You must let more people, you know, understand the progress in the Fediverse. So this is actually awesome. And also for the Sora itself, I'm actually considering first to open source the connector frameworks. So actually I wrote the connector framework to I searched for open source framework for Miski, but I didn't find the ones that are there are probably like 3 or 4 years old, and there's probably no one for Firefish for Swift like iOS. So I'll publish the source code for the connector framework, and maybe the explanation for the algorithm, how it predicts your posts. And in the future, once I clean up my code, I'll possibly publish a open source version of the Sora SNS app. But you know, my code is looking kind of messy right now, so I need some cleanup. But yeah, in the future, Sora will have open source contributions as well. So that's all I want to mention.
No, that's wonderful, and thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it's been such a wonderful time. Cool. Again, thank you so much. I love using Sora and all of the features, and I'm always sharing it. I think it's such a wonderful addition to the Fediverse and just also what's possible. And so I just wanted to say thank you also, just, you know, as a user. And, you know, I see how important user feedback is to you, and just wanting to be ethical and transparent. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that a lot.
I mean, Damon, I think from Point Zero provided a lot of advice to me, and I think it's very great to hear from a user's perspective. So a lot of users, actually, when they're dissatisfied with an app, they just remove it. And I mean, a better alternative is if you tell me what you want to see within this app, I will try my best to implement it. So the ultimate goal of this app is to make it work for everyone. So I mean, if everyone have any feedbacks, just let me know, and I will implement it. Maybe in a week, maybe in 2 weeks, but I would definitely make it work for every user. So it's not just about me or my profits. It's also about all the users. I want to make it work, you know, for everyone. So, yeah.
Well, thank you again for sharing all of this. And, you know, for people that are interested, by all means, check out Sora SNS on the Apple App Store. Obviously, our guest here tonight is developing it for macOS as well. So definitely keep an eye out for that. And, you know, I'm Sean Tilley. My co-host Damon Outlaw is here, and catch us on the Fediverse.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sean. Thank you very much, Damon, for this interview.
From our shared collaborative space, thank you for joining us for this session. You can subscribe to our blog directly via RSS with your app of choice. Follow our blog directly at news@wedistribute.org, or hit us up on Mastodon at mozilla.social/@wedistribute. If you want to support the podcast, feel free to donate at patreon.com/wedistribute or opencollective.com/wedistribute. I'm Sean Tilley, and you've been the best.